All right, so we've been talking about seven steps to the highest kind of faith for quite a while. And we're on step number six, knowing the reality of our fellowship with the Father. To know the reality of our fellowship with the Father. So we're just going to read a couple of the scriptures that we've been reading. Why don't you turn real quick to 1 Corinthians 1 and 1 John 3. We'll read those and then we'll go on from there. 1 Corinthians 1. First Corinthians 1 and 1 John 1. First Corinthians 1, verse 9. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We were called into the fellowship of his Son. So God, you realize God knew and does know all that will believe on him. He already knows. He already knew before you were born that you would believe on him. And he knows everybody that's going to come to him. He knows in these last days those that are going to believe on him, and he knows the people that aren't going to believe on him. So we need to be led by the Spirit when we're sharing with people. You got to be led. You know, some people have the idea that, I mean, they do it almost mechanically. Yes, we're called to preach the gospel. Yes, the Bible says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But, you know, you can waste your time on somebody. You know your time's valuable. Do you know the devil knows how to get you to waste your time on stuff that seems good? You know, he can get people to go and they waste all their time thinking they're ministering to somebody, and all the person wants to do is debate. But you think, well, I'm trying to do the word. Yeah, but the word also says to be led. And God knows who's going to come to him. So you could, I mean, there are so many people that they want to get into an argument with you. They're going to provoke you. Say, well, what about this? What about this thing? And even if you answer that, they go, well, what about this? And if you answer that sensibly, well, what about this? And you could spend all your time talking to this person, and they don't have a heart open to God. They just really, they want an argument. They want to see if they can win. That's a lot different than asking a sincere question. Well, you know what? I've always wondered about this. Do you have an answer? You can tell if you're sensitive, if the person actually has a heart open to God. If you just look inside, the Holy Spirit will tell you, you know, should I spend time on this person? I mean, that might sound cruel, but are you supposed to be going about your Father's business or not? Mm-hmm. Are you supposed to do with your time what he's told you to do, or just, because there are 7.5 billion people on this earth. You're not going to reach all of them. So what ones are you supposed to talk to? Where are you supposed to spend your time? You can't save the world. Jesus has already died. You can only do your part. You know, we were flying to the Midwest, you know, a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago or whatever. And, you know, every time I get into a plane, you take off on the runway and you get up and you start climbing, and pretty soon you know how it is. Everything just gets smaller and smaller, and you know, you fly out of Boston and, you know, you fly into, like we were flying into Chicago, and you start to see Chicago. I mean, it's just house after house after house, and I'm thinking to myself, I wonder how much that property costs. And this little itty bitty tiny thing. I mean, you can see all these right next to each other, and each one of those houses, you know, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you look at it when you're up in the air, and it's like nothing. It's like these people are probably really proud of their house, and they're, you can't even see their cars, any of their clothes. I mean, you can't see any. It's just so small, and you just look at how vast the world is. I mean, we live on a relatively small planet in the galaxy. And it's vast. I mean, we were up at the ocean, up at the beach on Saturday, and you just look out there and go, good night. That's a lot of water, and this is just a tiny, 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 tiny bit of it. Yeah. It's a big planet. Yeah. And there's a lot of people on it. I mean, you just go to the beach on Saturday. It was a nice day to go to the beach. It was hot, and there's just people. And we come out, like, where are we gonna set up? you just gotta weasel your way in there and find a place. It's a lot of people. I may have known somebody there, but I sure didn't see anybody I knew other than my family. I don't know any of those people, you know. Now, I was there to hang out with my family, and that's what we did. But, you know, I could have spent the whole time going up and preaching at these people. Most of them wouldn't want me to preach at them. They're like, hey, dude, you're in my son. You're making a shadow. I don't want to hear that right now. Now, it also could have been, if I really felt led, that there's one person I was supposed to go talk to, well, okay. I mean, that's biblical, you know. You could do that, but you know, some people are just going about it mechanically, like, well, I'm going to do this because this is the godly thing. I was at Mardi Gras there with a look at me funny, with a ministry back in 2003. There's a ministry that I don't think they're around now, but my pastor had been with he had known this guy for years and years, and this guy had a ministry, and he would go down, and he was called to this. And I was really skeptical when I heard about it. I was like, those people don't want to see you there. But these guys, they were called to it. It was men, and people would go down there every year at Mardi Gras and hand out tracts to people. They would street preach. And then they would walk down Bourbon Street with a cross. They had a line. And people would walk behind it. And there was one guy that would carry, drag the cross through. And they didn't say a word to anybody. And I'll be honest with you. When I heard about that, I was like, you know, I've seen some stuff before. And I'm like, I don't know why you'd do that. I know what those people are there to do. And it's not to see you guys. I'll be honest with you. I was like, I just don't think much of that. But I felt like I should really go this year. This was before I went to Rhema. And so we went down and drove. No, we flew. We flew and then drove. Oh, my gosh. Boy, that was a trip. But flew down there and then drove, I think, from like Alabama or somewhere. You know, got in there. And so you go down and you stay. Not right in the middle there, but it's a little ways off, and in certain places, sleep on the floor and stuff. And they have different activities in the day. You go out, and one day you're just ministering one-on-one to people, handing out tracts. But you know, you try to be led. You don't just go up and talk to somebody, and then we're street preaching. Think about that. I mean, down in the middle of people that are there to party, and this was in the middle of the day, and just open up and start preaching. And I did that. That was a different experience. It's amazing seeing people look across at you and just kind of looking at you like, I don't know, it was interesting. Some people, they stopped and they looked. And it was different. There was an anointing there. And then at night, you know, going, and we would sing songs walking down, but they said don't talk to anybody. We would sing praise and worship songs walking down the middle of the street, and you'd have people look at you, but you know, they said just don't look at me, you just keep going. You're there just to be there, they know. A lot of them know. And you know, there was, I remember there's this one girl, and I don't think I saw her. I think somebody said something, or maybe a lot of that's fuzzy. But I know the account, this girl came up, and she was just bawling. She was like, you guys, you're doing the right thing. I know I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be here. I mean, because you see all kinds of stuff there. I mean, you really want to keep your eyes straight. Stuff that's going on the side, you really don't want to see it. But I mean, this girl, she knew she was not supposed to be there, and it was just in her face and pulling on her. And so if you're called to do something like that, it's one thing. We also saw people that were on the street, and these people, this guy was just yelling at people. Like, you people are all going to hell, and just beating them over the head with it. And I'm like, now I don't think that guy was called to be there. And I don't think he was doing much good either. It's, you know, people, when they're out to party and somebody's yelling at them, it's not, you're not going to open their heart to Jesus. That's just going to make them go get another drink or hit a something or whatever they're going to do. It's not going to do much. But I tell you what, you do see results, and you see people. I talked to some people on the street, and I talked to them for several minutes, and they were open. And it's interesting. So anyhow, you got to be led. And whatever you're doing, you have to be led. But God knows who is called. He knows who will listen to him. It's not that he's preordained it in the way that he has already set it up and it cannot be changed. You know, people go over here and say, well, he's already chosen who's going to follow him. That's not true. But that would mean we don't have a free will. But he knows. And he knows what people need to hear. And so they may not be ready to hear everything. And you may not be, the final witness on the stand. Do you know the devil can use you, if you let him, or use a person to push a person and just back them up from, you know, they're maybe getting close to receiving Jesus, and somebody comes up and just says, you know, starts getting in their face about something, and they just took a step back, and so now they're not going to get saved for like another year or two when they were getting close. But some people just try to ram it down people's throats instead of being led. And guys, this is a major difference between people that believe we're led by the Spirit of God, have the Spirit indwelling, filled with the Spirit, supernatural ministry, and people that are in the head. There's a lot of Christians that they're just operating out of their head. So we're going to go do this, and they'll talk about being led by the Spirit, but it's really a soulish thing, a head thing. It's not so much really being led. And so then you get into just, well, we're going to do it this way, not stop and let's be sensitive. And so then you can just run into where you're actually pushing people away. And so the enemy's not stupid. If he knows that you have a sensitive conscience for God, he can use that to try to push you to do things even when you don't need to do them, but will try to make you feel guilty. Well, you ought to be ministering to that person. Look at them. And the fact is, they don't want to hear anything, and they're not going to, and you don't need to be there, and actually you need to be at home with your spouse or your family, but you have maybe an overactive conscience or something, and so you're being pushed by guilt, which is not the same as being led by the Spirit, and you go and spend your time and take away from something else, thinking you're helping the Lord when actually you're not. I don't say that to put fear in anybody. I'm just saying we need to be sensitive to the Lord. But we got into all that because we said we're called into the fellowship of His Son. It says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And turn over to 1 John. These are the scriptures and we know we've read this last several weeks. 1 John 1, verse 3. It says that we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So we've been spending some time just talking about that fellowship, talking about spending time in the presence of God. We sang about it this evening. There is everything we need in that presence, and we want to stay close and hooked up with God and conscious of that presence and just sensitive to that presence. Turn over to Psalm 91. We're going to spend a little bit of time there this evening. Psalm 91. I want you to notice a few things here. Thank you, Lord. And everything we've said goes along with it. Psalm 91, verse 1. Psalm 91, verse 1. Everybody there? It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So stop right there. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Does that sound like fellowshipping? Does that sound like being in His presence? Being with Him. You dwell there. "Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Well, if you're under somebody's shadow, you know, you're close to them. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High," so that's just not dwelling far away, in close to the Most High, "shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress." Somebody you run to, somebody you're close to, somebody that you're looking to for defense. It says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust." Look down in verse 9. We'll read through some of this, but I want you to notice this. It says, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High," your what? "Your dwelling place." Or yeah, there's different translations, but mine says dwelling place. Dwelling place. So you stay there. You stay with Him. In other words, you don't come just to visit. Your dwelling place. You're there a lot of time. You stay there. And we're talking about fellowshipping. If you're close, you're called into fellowship with the Lord. You know, in the secret place, this type of language, in the secret place of the Most High God, being in the dwelling place, He is our refuge and our fortress. You're going to them. You know where to go. So we have to look at, when we're talking about Psalm 91, looking at this, you need to look at it, what he's talking about. All this is applying to this person that's dwelling in his presence, that's fellowshipping with him. Let's go back to verse 1. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So before we get going, we're saying that knowing the reality of our fellowship with the Father, that increases, or not increases, but it encourages our faith. It helps us to walk in high faith. When you are with Him, when you're dwelling with Him, when you're spending time in that secret place, it buoys up your faith. And then when we're talking about here, when we're talking about faith for being protected, you're strengthened in that. Notice how bold the psalmist is here when he's talking about the protection. He says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust." Trust is faith. If you trust in somebody, you have faith in them. You can say, you know, husband or wife is faithful. Well, you say, "I trust my spouse. I trust them. They're going to do what they said they're going to do." You know, you don't believe somebody's not going to do what they said they're going to do and then say, "I trust them." Well, I really trust that guy, but man, you can't believe anything he says. That doesn't make any sense, right? If you say, "I trust somebody," it means they're faithful. They're going to do what they said they would do, right? Well, if you trust God, you believe that He'll do what He said He's going to do. If you believe that He's going to do what He said He's going to do, that's faith. That's that simple. It's not, faith is not hard. We make faith hard. People make faith hard. Let me read you something before we go on in the Psalms. I read some of this last week. But fellowship is the very mother of faith. I don't know if I read this last week or not. Fellowship is the very mother of faith, and fellowship is the parent of joy. It is the source of victory. And God has called us individually into fellowship with His Son. If you have fellowship with God and you are walking in the light as He is in the light, then prayer becomes one of the sweetest and one of the greatest assets to which we have become heirs in Christ. So when you're talking about God and having fellowship with Him, and you have fellowship with Him, it's not hard to trust Him. It's not hard to pray. You imagine somebody, it'd be like somebody that's really close to their spouse, has a real close relationship, and said, but I find it so hard to talk to the person. I just love my spouse. I trust him. I spend all this time, but I really can't talk to him. You would say, what was the first thing you said, and then what did you just say? You know, we have such a close relationship, but we don't know what to say when we're having dinner together. You're making no sense. Okay, can you repeat what you just said? Because on the one hand, you said I have a close relationship. On the second hand, you said I have no idea what to say to this person. How can that be? Well, it's the same thing. People do that with prayer. They do that with faith. It's like, well, I know God. I just can't trust Him. I have a real hard time praying. Praying is a chore. I pray and I got to press through. Well, you might have to put your flesh down. But if you're close to somebody, that'd be like, I mean, if you guys know, I mean, if you've had a close brother, sister, spouse, let me ask you, how many of you have ever dated somebody or been close to anybody? In the beginning stages, did you have to force yourself to talk to the person? No, it's probably the opposite. Right? You're not saying, well, I just don't know what to say. No, it's all you can do to shut up or quit talking about the person, right? It's not that way. If you're close to somebody, then you don't have a problem talking. Same thing with God. When you're praying, it shouldn't be a chore, and it shouldn't be hard to believe. So I'm just trying to believe God. Well, you're trying really hard to believe. That'd be like, you know, I'm really trying to trust my spouse, even though I say I'm really close. If you're close, it's not hard. If you know somebody really well, it's really not hard to trust them. Now, you might, if you're just getting to know somebody, you'd be like, well, I'm not sure. Jury's out. I'm waiting. I'm going to see what I think about this person. But if you're close to somebody, it's not hard. Thank God. So Psalm 91, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler." Now look at the language. It says, "Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler." Does that sound like he's undecided about that? Now notice what let's read it one more time, because you got to put this together, because people just try to take out, people will just try to quote the middle of this and just say, see, God's there. But they don't look at the context. This was all written when somebody is actually walking with God, and it's coming out of a relationship and a boldness that comes from fellowship and from being close to Him. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall." Shall is as strong as it gets. And He says, surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of destruction, the destruction that lays waste at noonday. I mean, think about all this, what the times we're living in. There's a lot that people are fearful of, and that can, you know, people get all uptight about. There's a lot going on, but notice the language here. This is a completely different picture. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. So what if people are keeling over left and right over some disease that the medicine just cannot do anything about? And then 10,000 at the right side. What, people say, well, it's going to hit you. This is just bold saying, I don't care if 1,000 people fall there and 10,000 over here, it's not going to hit me. And it's not like, well, I hope so, and I'm just going to believe God real hard. It's not going to. It won't hit me. It won't. That's pretty bold. A lot of people would say, well, you sure about that? You don't know. It might hit you, then what are you going to do? But that's not this language. Now remember, how did he get? He's saying, if you're dwelling in the presence of Almighty, you know God. You're in his shadow. And so stuff starts happening, but you know you're in the shadow of the Almighty. He's not going down. I don't care how many people fall. He's not going down. And if I'm under his shadow and I'm with him, I'm not going down. So you gotta, do you see this boldness that comes? It's like, we're talking about having faith, that this buoys up your faith when you what? When you know him, when you're close to him. So you're close to him and you're saying, no, it's not coming near me. People get mad at you for talking like that. Now, I'm not saying, I don't suggest you go and throw it in people's face. I'm saying if they knew you were saying, they'd be like, whoa, how can you be so sure? Well, because you have the Bible. You can say, well, if I'm in his presence, I'm staying close to him. When he told me he would protect me, and I trust him, so he's not going to let me down. It pushes out doubt. It says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. So you're just going to watch it. You're going to watch it happen, but it's not going to happen to you. It says, why? Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. And what does it look? What if it looks like something is coming near your dwelling? That would always bother me. It's like, well, see, it says it'll never come. So then if something approaches me, then it's like, well, it got by. No, that's when you say, that's like somebody trespassing on your lawn. That's when you say, get off, because you don't have any right to be here. God said, it won't come near my dwelling, so you need to go. You don't passively say, well, it didn't work or something. You get up and say, no, I have authority. God has, he said he would protect me. He said it won't befall me, so this has got to go. Verse 11, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. And it says, because he has set his love upon me. Now he's talking about, it's God talking about the person in this condition. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. It's that simple. He said, I will. I'm going to be there for you. I will be with him in trouble. You know, like we've talked about, Sometimes we get this idea that we're going through the trouble and God's out here looking at us and saying, well, I hope you get through this. Let's see, you know, how you use your faith here. The Bible says here, he'll be with you in trouble. That will comfort you right there. You just read those words when you're going through something and God is saying, I will be with him in trouble, that he's walking through this. The trouble's coming, but he just said, I will deliver you. I'll bring you through, and I'll be with you in trouble. I'll be with him. I'll be with her in trouble. That means he's here. That means we can be strengthened and girded up. It says, I will deliver him and honor him. I will. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So when he said, he shall call upon me and I will answer him, this is what a lot of people do when they're talking about calling out to God and praying. They do just like a couple. This is an illustration. This is some people Brother Hagin used to know. He says, they do just like a couple of minister friends of mine did. One of them was holding a tent meeting for the other. The evangelist would turn the amplifier up so loud on the speakers that it was running people off instead of bringing them in. One day the pastor asked him what made him want those speakers so loud. He said, well, I'll tell you, when I turn it up loud, it gives me a feeling that I'm getting my message across to people. And the pastor said to him, you don't have to get your message across anyhow. You ought to be depending on the Holy Ghost to do that for you, not the microphone or the speaker. See, if you're thinking, and people do this with prayer, I'm going to do something real loud. I'm in a crisis, so I'm going to call on God real loud. God, help me. That doesn't help. The volume of your voice doesn't do anything, doesn't move God. He can hear you. He knows your thoughts. He knows the number of hairs on your head. You shouting loud really does not help the situation whatsoever. Unless you're make you have goosebumps or something, but it really doesn't help God. It doesn't, that's actually unbelief. If you do it thinking that you're going to somehow get better results, it's actually unbelief. Because God said, like right here, you could just say, he says, he shall call upon me and I'll answer him. Then see, if you're 110 decibels loud, then I'm going to hear you and call on you. You know, if you sound like a jet airplane come taking off, he said, I'll hear you. You call on me, I'm there. But this, it comes from an assurance just being with him, from knowing him. Because when you walk through some stuff, when you see stuff coming down, I mean, fear is going to try to grip you. You know, you see certain things on the news or something happens to you in your life, fear is going to try to grip you. It will try. It's just our choice what we do. Now, if we're in his presence and we're used to him, then that fear tries to come on. It's like, wait a minute, I know God. I've been spending time with him. I'm not going to be afraid. And so that strengthens us. That buoys up our faith. That gives us strength to act on this word and to be this bold. Fellowship, just being with him. And notice this final thing. So he said, let's read the last three verses again. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Everybody say, I will. So if you said, I will pick you up at 4 o'clock, what does that mean? You're going to do it. Does that mean, well, if you tell somebody, I will do this, that means you're going to do it. You don't have to promise. If you're a man or woman of your word, that means you're going to do it, right? It's not like, we'll see how I feel. You know, if you call me and shout into your cell phone, I'll do it. It's not that way. You're saying, I will. Well, that God is saying here, because he set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will. It's really, that's it. You don't have to try real hard. You just have to take him at his word and say, well, okay, you said I will, so I will, or he will. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Notice this is relationship, though, and fellowship. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Notice this last thing. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. With what life? Long life, I will what? Satisfy him. Now notice, all this is talking about a person that's walking with God, staying close to him. The Bible says, with long life, or length of days, I will satisfy him. That's a promise of God. That you stay with long life until you're satisfied, until you and God determine that you're ready to go. You don't have to say, well, I just don't know. You can know. I mean, you don't have to be afraid of dying. We don't have to be afraid that we're going to go early. Did you know that? That's the way the world thinks. Well, you just don't know. No, you're not supposed to go before a certain time. And it's not a time, like it's just completely written in stone. You need to get good and ready to go, and then you go. You don't have to worry about these things that happen to people. Look at all the rest of this psalm. God is saying, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to make sure of it. You're protected. And if you stay tight with him, you're not going to get yourself in a position where you're going to be taken out. Because you're going to be walking with him. He's going to check you. He's going to show you, no, don't go that way. Don't do that. We don't have to fear like the people that they don't know the Lord. They don't have a relationship with him. You don't have to be afraid that, well, is this airplane going down? Not if I'm on it. It's not going down. And what if it did go down? Worst case, I'm in heaven. So that we don't need to be afraid of that. But I don't know, what if somebody does such and such, and you know, there's all these accounts of people doing weird stuff today. Well, it's not going to come near me. I'm not going to be there. And like we said, if it takes 1,000 people out, 10,000 over there, I know God. It's not coming near me. See, do you see? We're talking about faith, but protection. People are trying to believe God for protection, but they're really scared. Like, well, I hope. They're saying they believe God, but really it's like, God, I hope you protect me. There is not hope anywhere in here. Shall, will. It's not doubtful. It's not, well, we'll try to get God into the notion of protecting us. It's not that way. It's like, I know him, I'm protected. I don't care how many people get taken out around me, I'm fine. That's a boldness. That comes from knowing him and knowing his word. So he says, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You can just stay right there, say, no, I haven't hit long life yet. I'm not satisfied, so I'm not going anywhere. It's really that simple. It's that simple. We just stay right there. I'm protected. He went over thing after thing after thing. This thing isn't coming near me. This plague isn't coming near me. That arrow's not coming at me. The thing at night's not going to hit me. The thing at day's not going to hit me. It doesn't matter if it's mass destruction. Not coming near me. I'm fine. I'm going to walk in safety. And if you have a family, you say they're going to walk in safety. You know, people are petrified now that their kids are going to be taken out. You know, certain things have happened, and people are like, well, I remember one person told me, said, you know, this is so scary what's happening. You know, when those children were killed in the school, and they said, it's just so scary. I mean, that could happen to anybody. And they said, the thing is, we can't do anything about it. And I didn't correct them. I was just like, yeah, we can. My kids aren't going down. No, that's not going to happen. It will not happen. You need to know something. The devil will bring you a thought. You'll see something happen, or you'll hear about somebody, you know, some situation happened to them, and he'll tell you, that's going to happen to you. Or you're going to get that. You need to react to that. If there's people around you, you can do it softly. You can do it under your breath. If you're by yourself driving, I'd do it out loud. Say, that's never happening to me. That will not ever happen to me. Just stop it right there. You just stay. See, you get a thought, well, you're going to get that disease. Say it out loud. I will never get that. That will never happen to me. Well, I'm going to do this to your child. That will never happen. Just stop it, right? Don't start turning it over in your head. Don't start thinking about, well, what would I do if that happened? Don't do that. Just say no. That's never going to happen. How can you be that bold? Because you know him. Amen.